Blog Talk Radio.
Is this love? Is this love? Is this love? Flooding to me in a dream. Is this love? Is this love? Filling all my life with meaning. I thought that you were far away from me, but tonight I feel no distance. I see you standing in the clear sky, as I touch you to reach on high. Won't you let my heart stay still, a sweetness in the near distance. Words I thought to utter now lie still, and in my mind just thoughts of you. Is this love? Is this love? Is this love? Flowing through me in a stream. Is this love? Is this love?
Hi there, and welcome to Science of Light Show. This is Randy Goldberg at randygoldberg.org or astrodc.com, my website. You can get more information. And I want to welcome you tonight. And we have a little bit of a illumination on the idea of home and the significance of home and sense of place and the, you know, all the ramifications that that has in our lives. And having a home, we all grow up in somewhere, and that's our home. And there's a saying that we have a sense of who we are, but our history has a greater impact on that. That the field we live in, the unconscious greater field, is a much larger piece of the puzzle and of the picture. So from the Jungian perspective, our ego, conscious mind, is the tip of the iceberg. But what lies below the surface is far greater and far more connected to other people and our environment and all the different worlds and layers and levels of our being. And it's interesting when you think of the chakra system, the energy vortexes that relate to the glandular system and the release of different hormones, and there's different nerve pathways that there's major, like, fuse boxes. They're intersection points where numerous nerve fibers all pass. So there's seven major chakras along the spine, and the root base chakra is called the first chakra, and that's connected with our sense of belonging. And when we feel at home, we feel like we belong, and there's someone home in us, that we have our sense of groundedness and why we're here and what we're doing here, and that this is our place, and we have our right to be here, and it's where we're meant to be, and it's where we're comfortable. It's where we can feed and nurture ourselves and rest and recuperate and heal, restore balance. The whole cycle of day and night is interesting in life. You know, it's another metaphor of conscious awaking mind has to completely shut down for a third of its existence. And sleep and turn off and go completely unconscious. And so as much as we like to think we're in control, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, for instance, you can look at statistics, 90-some percentage of all attempted diets fail. People diet to lose weight because these things are much less in our conscious control than we think. And particularly the unconscious triggers that are there for us to eat and soothe ourselves, to comfort ourselves, and so much that gets sublimated and different primal needs that get met through our eating, that just to think that we can be like robots and easily control that is not as easy as we often might think. And so this root chakra, the sense of I belong, it's usually, you know, we all grow up in families, and so we belong to a group, a tribe. We have a place, and we have our kin. We have our groupings. And there's so many animals, you know, you see a puppy and a litter, and, you know, and humans were separated by 3 years, usually, and, but there's such a strong connection, and biologically, evolutionarily, this being part of the group, part of the clan, is what seeds our identity to who we are and how we belong and how we get accepted into a group, and our self-acceptance. And if you think about it, in the ancient times, if you were rejected and thrown out of the tribe and abandoned alone in the wilderness, you'd literally die. So your very survival was dependent on that belonging to the group. And, you know, that illustrates how strong that need can be. I think there might be someone with a question or comment. So I'm micing you. Hi there. That's one on purpose to get in line for a question or comment. I just unmiked someone there. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm also doing pretty well. Did you have a question or comment? Or?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I know the subject matter was a matter, you know, subject matter that I was interested in. I'm not really that familiar with this type of astrology, so I think this is the first time I've actually called your show. I don't know really how you do your show.
Yeah. And I was just talking about oneself, of one's sense of self, and our feeling of home and being at home and belonging where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a very fundamental thing that we all deal with and struggle with in different ways. You know, it's said that everybody comes from a dysfunctional family in some way, and, you know, so that's the group we belong to on a certain level, and just finding out, when we find out where our home is, you know, we can feel at home there, because there's a peace and a sense of security, and being at home in ourselves is what a lot of the spiritual journey is about, coming to find that inner home, inner peace.
Yeah,
yep.
I'm just now beginning to actually feel that way. For many years, I felt like, you know, I was just kind of, you know, existing and not really anchored, you know, not really anchored on this planet. And I'm just now beginning to feel the sense of home, and not only just the sense of home, but the support from home as well.
Right. And that's a very common existential experience of being human, that and, you know, when things don't go well and we have different traumas and difficulties in life, you know, there's a saying, there's a famous play, "Stop the World, I Want to Get Off." We have this feeling that, you know, I don't necessarily belong here, and it's not necessarily safe, and I'm not going to be able, you know, we experience so much loss and different things, and so that feeling of wanting to float away, that it feels often safer to be unanchored. One of the metaphors in healing work is this idea of soul loss, that when we have a big trauma, that there's a part of us that kind of breaks off and just can't deal with this, and just says, okay, I'm not going to be here. And that part of us kind of goes away. It says no to this life. It says no to being here on Earth. It kind of pulls up its anchor and says, and that's why sometimes people talk about bliss minis, or people who try to transcend their issues rather than deal with them, do the hard work of digesting their experiences. So, on a certain level, in the Sanskrit word for meditation is sadhana, which means effort and a struggle. And so there's a certain dynamic work that's involved. And there can be a desire to escape, because it's just overwhelming and it's too intense, and you don't necessarily feel like you have the resources to deal with life, and that's why some people turn to drugs and have different addictive patterns. And so coming to that place where you begin to say, okay, I actually will say yes to this life, despite all that it cost me and all that it cost my parents and my family and stuff, and that you know, I might as well play the cards I've been dealt, because they're the only ones I have, and I'll just say yes to it and start to engage and be willing to come down and anchor, like you were saying, and to step into your life, to show up and to take your place and to feel worthy. You know, so much of trauma gets internalized as self-hatred, wounding to your own self of identity and worthiness and your core damage, and the learning, you know, the fundamental obvious truth of, like, you can't really love another person until you love yourself. And so taking those, that journey to learn to be gentle and loving towards yourself and accepting, you know, all growth can't happen without first accepting that I am here, and from here I can take one step forward, but until you accept where you are, you can't even begin to move forward. And that's all part of that a Jungian concept of the puella eternus, the eternal child archetype, that also sometimes people get so wrapped up in their fantasy life, and they would rather live among the stars and pull up anchor. And so Peter Pan didn't have a shadow, and he never grew old, and his enemy, Captain Cook, had the clock, and you know, he wanted to stay young forever. And so there's that pull of wanting just to fly and I think it's Tom Petty or something has a song about coming down is the hardest part. So it's kind of easy to go get high, to go up, but to come down, that anchoring that you're talking about, where you give yourself permission to be safe, and you find that what resources can help ground you. When a person's had an accident or different traumas, if someone's in therapy and they can't face the situation, one of the first things to do with that person is try to get them to feel their sense of groundedness. And when they feel grounded, then they begin to feel safe. So it's actually one of our greatest resources is being able to ground and to feel like, okay, we're on solid ground and my life has a solid foundation and I can build from here. And yeah, the whole foundation is another big metaphor that's in so many stories of Babel's Tower and whatever. If you don't take the time to build your roots and a strong foundation and stuff, then it's easy to get blown away by the things that come along.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. You know, I'm not going to tell anybody that it's, you know, I wouldn't say that it's an easy task, and I wouldn't say it's a difficult task, but mm-hmm. It is a lot of work. And I think what it is that most people, you know, for whatever reason, they're just not willing to take the time and put in the time and the energy to actually do the work. They prefer to, you know, like you said, maybe wallow in self-pity or mm-hmm. try to mask it somehow, you know, mask whatever it is. And then, you know, what I've found for me is that, you know, these situations and circumstances have presented themselves as opportunity mm-hmm. for me to just take on the challenge and you know, look at it square in the face and just deal with whatever it is and just move on. You know, because yeah. all challenges, they're not going to go anywhere.
Huh.
They're not going anywhere. And we have to, you know, there's a lot of things we have to deal with. There's a lot of things we have to look at, you know, in terms of just being an observer. And you know, and getting to a point where and honor, you know, who we are and what it is that we do have. You know, because so many times people, you know, the way they're looking at what they don't have and what they're lacking. They're not looking at the fact that, you know, I mean, it can be the smallest thing. It can be something that's so simple, that's so meaningful, you know, at the same time. But I think people, you know, they have this tunnel vision and they're just looking, you know, one way instead of looking at, you know, all possibilities.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot there. That's wise words. And that's really what getting astrology reading is all about. I do astrology readings with people where you get to look at your chart, which is a picture of the stars when you were born, and I will just share both the Western and the Indian Vedic perspectives. We look at both charts just so you get both lenses, and some people draw value from. And then it's a way to get a new perspective and, like you said, to open up possibilities where you have a chance to face those challenges. And one of the neat things about astrology is also there's, you can see when kind of like the cosmic weather, certain times you can expect the winds to be blowing extra hard, and certain times things calm down a bit. And so it's kind of, it's comforting to know when the storm's going to recede a bit, and can help one get one's bearing and to draw the deeper meaning, the symbolic meaning of all the different challenges and what's the lesson there, what is it that I need to face, and what am I not seeing from the perspective that I've been looking at it. It's super true what you're saying about, you know, the issues aren't going to go anywhere by hiding your head in the sand or, you know, avoidance techniques or, you know, the different drugs and destructive ways that people try to numb themselves from their problems. And sooner or later, you're going to need to face them. And what's beautiful about facing your fears and your difficulties is it's really by facing them, they transform. They aren't as big as we think they are. That we're afraid of things. The fear expands by us running away from it. It has more control over us by avoiding it and being in opposition of fear instead of engaging in, you know, an obstacle is like a weight at the gym. And you go to the gym and you work out, and without that weight, it wouldn't give you the opportunity to build your muscles. So we have so many muscles and so many aspects of our life that we can engage in and build up. And like you said, you know, we get into self-judgments and comparing ourselves to others and all the different futile things. But if everybody can, particularly now where everything is so polarized, you know, that whole political system is a grid standstill, gridlock, and everyone is becoming so one-sided, and that's kind of the definition of not being willing to step out of your narrow perspective and, like you're saying, when you face those challenges, you begin to broaden your mind and see different possibilities and different perspectives, and that's really what it's all about.
So how do you do your show? You just basically you just talk about astrology. You don't actually do anything, you know, on the show. You just kind of discuss different aspects of it. I think this is the first time I ever called your show.
Yeah, well, it's different every week. It's different. So sometimes I have different themes, and I have a big background of I lived in India and studied yoga and meditation, and do different healing modalities, and there's a whole lot of different aspects just besides astrology. Sometimes people are having emotional issues, and they might need a Bach flower remedy. I did a show recently. I don't know if you've heard of Bach flowers, but they're using plant energy medicine to help balance emotions and mental things. And often I'll muscle test and see what's a good remedy and read that for the person. And so often when someone calls, they have a question or concern, or they might be upset about whatever is going on, and there might be a Bach flower remedy, for example, that would help that person. So I don't know if there was anything going on with you or anything that you wanted to look at or needed help with or anything like that.
Well, that's why I was asking, because I didn't know how you actually, you know, like, do your show, if it's just, you know, along the lines of astrology.
It's a lot more broad than that. Astrology is just a tool, and I have a lot of tools, and some people can be very dogmatic about, don't get out of bed because this is going on or that or whatever. If I need the tool of astrology, I can look at that. But there's all kinds of different tools, and astrology is just really, it's a symbolic language. It's a way of discussing metaphorically some of the more subtle energies that are going on in the collective, and certain patterns, and certain, you know, like the sign of the times, how we're all kind of feeling, and the shifts that are going on in the collective energies.
There is something that kind of stirred up. I'm writing a book, and I sometimes have these premonitions. I can kind of see into the future, and sometimes I see things before they happen and know things before they happen. So, you know, this book that I'm writing, I know once publish this book, like, it's going to open up doors for me to actually start teaching, you know, some of the things that, you know, that's going to be in this book. So weekend before last, I went to go visit my family, and my niece and her husband, they just purchased this house, and the area that she lives in, it's really, like, it really resonated with me spiritually. I was, you know, pleasantly surprised, not overly surprised, but, you know, because that's really my hometown. That state is where actually I was born, but I haven't been there, you know, actually lived there since I was 17. So to make a long story short, I felt like after this book was published, I was going to be drawn to that particular state to sort of like have, I don't know if you call it workshops or just some form of teaching that had to do with it. I felt that I would be drawn to that state. And I said, where would I stay? So when I went to go visit her, I kept having these thoughts like, you know, this would be a nice place to have a second home, but not to just to have a second home, but it would be tied into this book somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, one thing to think about, and this is a nice exercise and meditation. This actually comes out of family constellation work, which is an ancestral healing modality that I do. We all arrive on this earth, and this relates to this, what I was talking to you about, the sense of home. You know, we come out of the cosmos and we land at a particular spot, at a particular piece of land is our cradle, is our breathing point. It's our arrival on earth. And so there's a certain energy there that greets us, that meets us, that we bond with. Our initial entry into this world, our portal, is that land, is that place, is that home base where we were born. So for everyone listening to the show, we can do a brief meditation that and so that there, you know, one that there can be other things involved with your story, and you can look in that, but this is sort of a general thing that would be good for everyone, just to take a moment. And And it can be similar with, there might be a special tree that you played in, that you had in your backyard, or you had a connection with, or, you know, there's something about the earth and nature that, that, so this land that was the resting place of our birth, to take a moment just to meditate and to open your heart to the energies of that land. If you think about it, in ancient times, people were born in a place, and they usually lived their whole life in that place, and they were completely immersed in that energies. And now we live in a quicker world, and we're more versatile, and we can become more well-rounded or more just open to all kinds of different energies and opening up to a lot more than we could in ancient times. But still, there's this great significance of that place that received us on earth. And to take a moment just to resonate with those energies, to see, to tune in, how that feels, to sort of sync your energies with the energies of that place. And if you think about it, this can be like a resource for you. You can draw on your homeland. If you think of that as your home base, you may have moved so many places in life, but there's something special about that place, because that's where you were born, and that's where you lived for some time. And to see if how it feels to bask in those energies and to connect with that land, and see if the land might have a message or a gift, or if there's some quality that gets strengthened in you as you draw on that land as a resource, as a place that you can stay connected in your heart, and you can kind of say to that land, I respect you as the place that I come from. This is where I landed on earth. This is where I took my birth. This is where my first steps on your soil. You nurtured me as I grew, and I'm thankful for that. And I keep a place in my heart. I stay connected to you even though I wander this earth, and I'll experience so many places, but you always have a special place in my heart, and I thank you for giving me that original home, and I carry that with me, and I feel that strength and that healing and that groundedness that comes with connecting from my homeland, and just breathe that in, and just kind of lean back into it. Feel like you have that land is there at your back. It's supporting you. It's connected with, you know, your ancestors, even if it was just your parents, were moved there and he got born there, so there's an ancestral connection, and you can feel the support of your ancestors and feel the support of that land, and take a moment to, you know, your ancestors may have come from other places and other lands, so you can connect with your ancestors going back, even if that was in different places. Take a moment to feel your ancestors going way back to different motherlands, you know, here in America, where a country of immigrants, and most of us have ancestors and relatives that connect to other lands, and we can honor those cultures and those lands and welcome them and their support as part of our backstory, part of our history, part of our roots, where we come from. When you know where you come from, then you have a strong springboard to leap forward in life. And so once again, you can just kind of give thanks, feel yourself touching that land, and just know that you're connected to it, and it's connected to you, and that as you move around, you don't have to lose that connection. You keep that connection in your heart. And it's something that feeds you and fills your being, particularly with that grounded sense of I belong, I have a home, I have a place where I can anchor, I'm safe, and yeah. And you can think about, was there a special tree? Was there a special nature place where you might have played or went and hid, or had your special magical place to hang out and connect with that piece of nature also, and have that be part of your resource that's there?
Well, you know, the place that I'm living in now, like the state that I was telling you, that's where I was actually born, but this property in Colorado where I live, this is where I made my first incarnation onto the, you know, planet Earth. And there is a spot, and I discovered this spot. I knew that there was a portal on this property that I was connected to, but I didn't know exactly where it was. And there was, like, when I would take my walks, I would sit down at certain spots. But this particular day, I was walking, and, you know, where I was walking, when you look over, there's this tree there, and there's this pond there. And it kind of, the tree kind of sticks up on this hill, and if, you know, I was walking, and this leaves, this energy just drew me in. And so I stopped what I was doing, and I went down, and I went around the grass and kind of walked up on this hill. And in order for me to actually, I had to walk up on this hill, and I had to hold on to the tree limb to actually sit on the wall to, you know. And I sat on the wall. When I sat on the wall, I can actually look through the tree into the pond. And everything that you just described in terms of the connection with the tree, the connection with the earth, the connection with whatever else in the unseen, on the unseen level, it's like I went into this portal or went into this, you know, this quantum field. And there were so many things happening. I was feeling so many things. And just to make a long story short, when I came out, when I got off the wall and I came out, walked across the grass, it was like my everything shifted. The way, I mean, everything looked different. I felt different. So I know that this portal is there, and this is where I made my first incarnation. So a lot of what you were saying about, you know, where I was born, you know, that's what I'm actually experiencing here, you know, in this property. And that's like one side of the coin. Now, the other side of the coin is that I have people around me that disrupt. I don't know what they do. It's It's all like kind of mechanical or electronic, and they're constantly disrupting the energy in my house, you know, when I'm asleep 24/7. So, you know, on the one side I have the strong connection with the divine, and then on the other side, you know, these people, they just do, you know, I don't even know what to call it. But I'm real sensitive, and I can pick up on, you know, when people are doing things or thinking a certain way, and most of it is basically, it's energetic. So, you know, tonight I put crystals, you know, I have a lot of crystals, and, you know, I kind of program them so that I can raise the vibration, especially in my bedroom, because it happens all over the house and even outside the house. But it's amazing how you can be in this bliss, in this divine presence, and then, you know, you can have both realities going at the same time. And that's what I'm experiencing here.
So another great thing that also relates to all this topic of home is grounding. So we talked about anchoring. Do you ever practice a grounding meditation? Because there's a lot of great grounding meditations that, and you can also shield as part of that grounding meditation. You know, if things like our sensitivities, they're a two-edged sword, and we need to learn how to wield it. And one of the powerful things to learn is that our sensitivities have, we can adjust the filters. We can turn up and down those sensitivities, and we can ground and shield, and energy follows intention. So, you know, you talked about this is mostly an energetic component. So if you set the energy to have a shielding force field around your bedroom, around your house, around yourself, that nothing enters without your permission, that you release anything that is not serving your higher good, and you have a way to ground the energies, that if there is something that's bothering you, and you have a way to shield, and you can tune out some of the, you can change the filters. You just think of it as like you have knobs, and you can adjust, you know, there might be a part of yourself that is allowing yourself to be sensitive enough to pick up stuff that you can dial that back and stay inside the shield and be at peace and not have to, you know, these things can be torturous, and so it's good to learn.
I do all that, but they got so many high-tech, you know, it's all about control, and I mean, they have so many high-tech, this technology, it's all about control, you know, where I won't really go into all of it, but it's this technology.
And, you know, everything is
disrupt.
Again, there's different resources, so, you know, you can draw on a greater spiritual resources that will be more powerful than any technologies that are very limited, and, you know, the physical, most of them operate out of, you know, the simple physical tool technology, whatever, I mean, that compared, you know, one atom can create an atom bomb, so when you draw on a spiritual resource, and particularly, so, you know, you're starting to talk about some people that sound like they have pretty dark energy, and often when we're being bombarded by some really dark stuff, we need to go really strongly to the light. We need to draw in a lot of pure light, to purify ourselves, and to really get connected to that pure source, and
I know how to transmute it, but it's, you know, I know, like you said, when you draw the light in, it transmutes it. It dissolves it, it transmutes it, you know, but it's like a river. signal. It's constantly. You have to constantly transmute this energy to a higher vibration. So I do
again,
all the above.
Again, that's where you can set a boundary and a shield and have your grounding that, you know, if it's constantly bombarding, you keep the shields up and it will be have it constantly bouncing off. So set it. Your energy will follow your intention. So create the whole visualization and already mentioned you had crystals and you can put your intention into those and meditate and raise the vibration. All this work is part of the, you know, we talked about how it's not easy. There's a discipline and, as you raise your vibration and you get connected to your sense of power and your connection to the transcendent force, then you'll get strengthened and have the resources to draw on to do what you need to do. And there's a certain point, all the spiritual traditions talk about surrender, so there's a certain point where, all you can do is surrender and you let the larger force come in and if you keep your intention pure that you're here to serve, you're here to open up your heart, here to be a vehicle to ground the light and to make this world a better place, and people will have their dark things they're doing, but that won't the more you're strengthened in your purpose, and this all again relates to home, that you came here for a reason, you're here doing what your work, and take, you do as much as you can, and then you can request help from the divine at that point, and you'll feel that it's just like, the footsteps on the sand, you get carried, and that's part of going on with that, and I want to just mention that there's other people listening, and if anyone else had a question or comment, I want them to be able to press 1 to get in the call queue. I want to thank you for calling and for giving this chance. Do you want to share what you're writing about and what the topic you're searching, you might be teaching about?
Well, I just say that the book is motivational. I don't really talk about it. And the reason why I don't talk about it is because, that once it's published, it will be a teaching tool, and it may be, it may be certain topics that may be well over some people's head, and then it may be certain, subject matters where people may have had the same experiences or may have have the desire, but don't know how to access certain information, or they may have the tools that they need for them to evolve in certain areas, but they may not know how to use them.
So that's
what I was thinking.
Some of these issues you're dealing with, we often, the problems we face, we teach what we need to learn, and everything you just described there, you'll be able to walk your talk, and when people share similar experiences like what you're going through, you'll be able to explain how you overcame them and are able to do what you do.
Right.
We're all part of the healer is the wounded healer. So, we learn to heal our wounds, and then we can, and then other people stand that we have the gravitas, we got the weight to give them the kind of advice that you're talking about, because you've been there and you've done it, and you know what you're talking about.
Right.
Yep. So I want to thank you so much for calling in, and have a blessed night. I'm going to see if there's anyone else that wants to, you can press 1 to get into the call line if you had a question or comment, and we're going to finish up here soon with a song that's called The Ray of Divine Light by Kiyoshina, a great singer from New Zealand, and her music is on innersong.com. But all those themes of anchoring, you know, growing roots, and a great resource for people looking for detailed visualizations of grounding meditation, the Berkeley Psychic Institute, they have incredible CDs and tapes and material. You can just Google Berkeley Psychic Institute. They have some of the best meditation tools around. They're a very great resource. And there's someone here. Hi there, I'm miking you. How are you doing tonight? Can you hear me? There's someone who was in the... Yeah, hi there. How are you?
Oh, hi.
Hi. Did you have a question or comment or anything?
I just called in. Oh. I didn't realize... I haven't gotten a chance to listen too much of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking about home and the significance of having a place to land and coming into our body, into our life, and saying yes to it, being willing to show up and to embrace and face what challenges are there, and how our sense of belonging is very connected to feeling at home and at peace within ourselves, being able to feel that inner place of resting and landing, and how there's a tendency to want to fly and be in the air and to avoid and escape, and it's a natural thing that when we're traumatized, we kind of check out. But having the courage to find embodiment and to say that I'm going to accept who I am and not necessarily internalize the negative things as self-hatred and self-denial and self-rejection, but learn gentle ways to nurture and heal ourselves.
Well, that's a good point. Just lately, I've been letting a lot of the troubles of the world kind of get to me, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, it's kind of depressing. Sometimes you watch television, you see nothing but bad things happening. You look around, nothing but bad things happening. The economy is crappy, and, you know, through all of this shifting and changing and the energy, kind of try to figure out where you belong in all of this. You know, what's your purpose?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And when you know where you belong and you have your home and you belong there, and then, it, like you said, it naturally follows that you have a sense of purpose, and also you're here for a reason. You're doing what you're meant to do. And for sure, there's a lot of, you know, the TV and all that stuff is part of psychic food. You know, we think about what we eat as our food, but everything is a form of food. And you have to, depending on your sensitivity level, you know, you got to learn when to filter that out and just take a diet from the negativity that, you know, the press always, if it bleeds, it leads. They always put the, you know, something real positive happens, that's not news. It's things that trigger you know, heads turn when there's something scary and dramatic and dramatic. And so, you know, there's never a news story that, oh, this person just had an epiphany and this person opened their heart and all the different transformations that are happening and positive changes that happen on a slow level, and they don't get noticed. And, you know, it's just always the shock value and kind of lowest common denominator. So learning to, we have filter, we can filter ourselves. We can turn up, you know, as you learn to meditate and to be able to wield this instrument that, you know, is always, like you talked about, the different changes, so there's always greater sensitivities happening, and as you learn to meditate and to ground and to protect yourself. We talked about, I talked earlier on the first call about shielding, and there's you know, it's nice to play with that idea of filters, you know, that what's coming out of the news, you know, it's over, okay, I'm going to shut those filters down, cranking those off, I'm turning the sound down, I'm turning it off, I've had enough, now let me listen to something that's uplifting and inspiring to get rid of that taste in my mouth, in my head. And meditation itself is a way of emptying our mental garbage can that gets filled up with all this crap, and have a place to clear out and to get some space to feel at home and to feel the peace that we have inside of us.
Yeah.
Do you have a meditation practice that you...
You know, I never really could get into meditating for some reason. My mind is so busy. I've tried it multiple times. I've had little success with guided meditation, but I just got a book called Silent. I can't remember who the author is, but it talks about, you know, meditating and silencing your mind so you can get a closer.
The main reason that people fail to learn to meditate is they think that they need to sit down for 15, 20 minutes or a half hour or something. And that's, you know, more time than people have. And like you said, the mind is so busy and this and that. So you want to start out with doing it regularly just for a few breaths, just for 30 seconds or a minute or two, just for real short, but regularly, just, okay, you're just going to take a pause. Like if you're racing around, and somebody hands you something delicious to eat, you know, like you're racing all around and this and that, you don't take time to stop and say, okay, well, let me taste what this is like. You won't taste it. So you're just taking, a meditation is just a pause. It's taking a moment to catch your breath, just to take a few deep breaths. And if you have that as a ritual, it's part of your lifestyle, that every day you brush your teeth, you bathe, and different things you eat. So, you know, it's usually best to do it before you eat, because when you get heavy with food in your stomach, it's a little bit, you know, feel as light. So, you know, in the morning and in the evening, to de-stress a little bit, when you come from, you know, work and things. And so it's, start out very small, just a few minutes. And then as you do that regularly, twice a day, you'll naturally start to get some benefit of it. And it's a time where you kind of reconnect to yourself and your home and all that we've been talking about, your soul, whatever. And you think of the choppy waves of the water. You can't see through the bottom, but when a pond gets calm, you can see down to the bottom. So it's the same thing with our thought waves. And so sometimes listening to some relaxing music or uplifting, inspiring, you know, there's ways to transition from, you know, coming from work and listening to all that negative news and stuff, and then transition into meditating. But again, if you just do it, start out for a couple minutes, and you know, in a month or two, you're doing 5-10 minutes, and slowly you just build up. You'll start to get benefit out of it, and you'll naturally want to meditate a little bit longer, and it becomes a natural process.
That's a good point. I never thought of it that way. Sometimes that's all it is, just changing the, the way you look at things.
And let's do a brief meditation now, because I was talking with the previous caller about grounding as if you're going to jump up, first you bend your knees, so you come down before you go up. And grounding is a really important first step in meditation. And a lot of times, for a lot of people, in fact, Jung said, part of the reason in the East, they're always trying to raise all the energy up to the third eye and, to these transcendental upper chakras, that we're already up in our head, and we need to come down into our body. We need to get out of our head. And so it's so great to do some grounding. So I'll just lead, this is for you, but for everyone listening in the audience, and just take a minute to get comfortable, find a place where you're sitting, and it's easier to meditate when your back is straight. If you're watching a movie or listening to a lecture, it's enthralling. You're like sitting on the edge of your seat, and versus if it's really boring, you're slouched and leaned over and half asleep. So it's nice to try to, you can feel like there's a string pulling your head up, and so you have a straight spine, but it's not stiff or rigid, or everything in meditation should be relaxed and comfortable. So the way you sit should be relaxed and comfortable. And if you have a bad back, then sit in the chair and let the chair, or even lie down. The problem with laying down is it's a little bit easier just to completely space out, to fall asleep, or it's a little bit hard to concentrate in that position. But be relaxed and comfortable in how you're sitting, and you might rock a little bit and find your center and get centered. And take a big release, let go of stale air, and yawn and sigh, and just take some out breaths. So get rid of any stale air in your lungs. And feel your sit bones connecting you, your seat, and let yourself breathe from your diaphragm. Take in some full, deep breaths. We usually breathe very shallowly, so breathe all the way deep into your belly. As you breathe diaphragmatically, and you feel your belly extend first as you breathe, and then the rest of your lungs. Let your lungs also fill up the top corners that don't usually get filled. So you're taking slow, full, deep breaths. See if there's any tension anywhere in your body that you want to shake off. And as you're meditating, you might have an itch or this or that. And so, let yourself scratch it. You don't want to be distracted. You just want to stay comfortable and relaxed. And different thoughts come and go, and just try to witness them. Just try to float up to a witnessing position where you have this body, but you're not this body. You have your thoughts, but you're not your thoughts and emotions. Your emotions are always changing, and thoughts are changing, your body's changing. And so you have these things, but you're something that's witnessing all that. You're something that sees your thoughts, that registers your emotion, and witnesses your body. So let yourself kind of float up to your higher self, to that perspective of witnessing that I am different things, that I feeling. So we have a sense of I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, I'm thinking this, but let yourself go to that, just to the pure I feeling. Just I am being here, experiencing this moment now. And just take a breath with that. And so many kinds of meditation focus on just observing your breath. You can witness your breath as it streams in and out of the nostrils of your nose. And there's many kinds of Buddhist meditation where they don't have much more instruction but then just be aware of your breath. Breathe consciously. So all meditations will have breath as a foundation. And then the different thoughts come and go. Our mind is always moving, so people get frustrated that it's natural for the mind to move. And so you can put your mind right at the point of your nostrils if you want to feel the air streaming in, streaming out. And another, you can put your mind in different visualizations. You can see yourself at the beach, at the forest, in some nature spot where you feel very peaceful. And you, the place that you feel at one with nature. And there's different mantras. There's a universal mantra that Joseph's going to sing. I'll go out with there's a song that towards the end of the song she'll chant the universal mantra. That's three words, Baba Nam Kevalam. So you can, another thing to do with your mind is give it a mantra to repeat. And if you're repeating this mantra, Baba Nam Kevalam, those words have certain sound vibration, and then you also think of the meaning of the words, which are that we're all part of the one universal energy, that everything is one. And you say it in a rhythm with your breath also, so you can say Baba Nam as you breathe in, and Kevalam as you breathe out. It's great. Meditation, chanting music at innersong.com, great website for more guided meditation type of chanting. And let yourself take a full deep breath, and as your breath begins to slow down and deepen, you just naturally begin to relax and become present to this moment. And then we're going to do a grounding meditation where from your root chakra, the base of your spine, the first chakra, feel that there you have a grounding cord that goes into the earth. And you can also have roots from your feet and stuff, but let your grounding cord from your first chakra go down into the center of the earth and wrap around the center of the earth so you're very firmly grounded. And so you can have your grounding cord be roots that break through the soil and go grow down into the earth. And you can have white roots or green roots or brown roots. You just experiment with different colors to see what energy resonates with you. And you can release any blocks and energies in your chakras and your auric field, anything that you're holding on to. Sometimes you might have a headache or something. You can just send that down your grounding cord, and the earth can recycle that energy. And you can draw up energizing, refreshing, relaxing energies from the earth. Not only release which is ready to be. And then take in and get on your energies with the earth energies. Your grounding cord can be a rope that ties around the center of the earth. It could be a cable. It can be an electric cord that plugs in. It can be a tube, like you flush any energies you want down your grounding cord. It can be a ray of light. Play around with different colors, light, see which one works for you. Grounding cord can be a waterfall that rushes down, and you start that waterfall from your root, from the base of your first chakra, which is the spine. Then it goes down into the earth and also can loop back up, so it pours down the front of your spine and back up the back, and you can slowly have that waterfall be your grounding cord and be your roots, and just one chakra at a time. You can bring it up to the second chakra and around your creative center, and then your third chakra of the belly button, and your solar plexus, and your fourth chakra and your heart, fifth chakra at the throat, sixth chakra and the center of the forehead and the crown, the top of the head, so that that waterfall can be washing over you, pouring down the front and completely clearing out all your chakras, clearing out your whole aura and grounding you strongly into the earth and running your energies, receiving the energies as the waterfall comes up your back and energizes you and gets you grounded, giving earth energy. You're plugged in to the earth. And in this place, sitting in between heaven and earth, you can also then, once you feel fully grounded, you can open up the crown chakra, the seventh chakra at the top of your head. You can open that up to the cosmic rays, to the universal energies, and connect out to the infinite source, the cosmic mind, and be right in that macrocosmic place, right in between heaven and earth, between the high and earth. We're sitting here fully connected to the earth energies and fully connected cosmic energy. Just breathe that all in. In this meditative place, I want to thank you for calling, and I think this is a good time for me to play this song, and at the end of the song, she'll be chanting this mantra and just continue meditating and let yourself, with your inner voice, repeat the mantra.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure thing. Take care, and I'll be back next week. My website is randygoldberg.com. org or astrodc.com and Joshua.